Do please sit down, and Julie is going to come and read for us from the Bible.
This reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, which can be found on page 1015 of the Pew Bibles. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of Christ.
Thanks, Julie. Jeremy. Come here. How you doing?
All right.
How's life as a curate?
Okay.
You got something to say?
I hope so.
Great to have you here. First week in, lots of differences, all that sort of thing. We'll be finding out more about you over the coming weeks. We'll probably do some sort of big interview with you after you've been here a couple of weeks just to find out what it's really like. But for now, over to you.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Am I on? Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll open up our hearts as we look at your word. Help us to respond and help us to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to thank you all for a very warm welcome so far. I didn't thank you last week, although Pauline did remind me about the hamper we got, which we're still working our way through. Thank you very much. It was great, a lovely surprise. A lot of wine in it. I don't know if that's the thing here. Flipping out. We're still chewing our way through it. But as I say, it's a wonderful welcome, and I'm touched by the warmth of people. I've never been in this part of the world before, so it's lovely. It's a lovely thing. For those who don't know me, I'm a sort of musical background. I've worked in housing quite a long time, and I got a call to ministry about 4 or 5 years ago. We were at Nottingham before we came here studying. And then we came here about, was it 2 weeks? Just over 2 weeks. And I got done last week in the cathedral in full military honours. So, we'll look at this passage today, and it's about serving God. Now, if this works, it'll be amazing. Oh, but it's come on there. Does it? Oh, no. Okay, right, there we go, serving like Jesus. And this is a very well-known passage where James and John come up to Jesus. But just let's set the scene a bit first. Now, this is Mark's gospel. And as you probably know, Mark's gospel goes at a furious rate. Goes from one thing to the next, and then suddenly they did this, and then they did that, and they did this. It's difficult to keep up with it. But as it gets towards the end, it gets towards Jesus' passion, it all slows down. It's a bit like when you fast forward a video or something, and it's like this, and then it suddenly it sort of goes into normal speed. And at this point here, Jesus is coming up to Jericho. And if you know your geography from that part of the world, which I don't very well, but Jericho to Jerusalem was the big journey everyone made 3 times a year to go to the feasts, okay? It's about 19 miles. So if you set off early in the morning and have your stuff with you And if you're a good walker, you can just about do it going through the heat of the day. So Jesus approaching Jericho, and on his mind must be this journey from Jericho to Jerusalem, because he knows what's ahead. He knows that ahead of him is his passion, his crucifixion, humiliation. He knows all that is waiting for him. And the last time he predicted his death, because he just says to his disciples, I'm about to be killed. And the last time he did it, something terrible happened. Peter stood forward and said, oh, no, that's not going to happen. And he had to sort all that out. So this time he does it with a heavy heart. He tells him he's about to die. He sets his face towards Jerusalem. And then, just at that moment, the bleating voices of James and John pipe up and go, teacher, can you do something for us? And very politely and graciously, Jesus says, what would you like me to do? And they say, we want to be top on the table. We want to be either side of you when you come in glory. Because that's Jesus preparing himself for that journey. Because they thought that Jesus was this Messiah figure who was going to glory. He was going to conquer the Romans. And when it was all done, they wanted seats at the top of the table next to Jesus, full glory, full honours. That's what they were asking for. But they didn't understand that Jesus was doing something different. Even though he told them he was going to die, they just didn't get it. Jesus says to them, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And with big grinning faces, they look back and go, yes, we can. It's almost like a comic misunderstanding. It's almost like a comic misunderstanding. I remember there's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer is dressed as a cow. And he's on a conveyor belt and he's going to the slaughterhouse with all the other cows. He doesn't realise it. And he looks through his binoculars and all he can see, he doesn't see the S. He says the rest of it. And Marge on the phone says, what's happening? He says, I'm going to the laughter house. He doesn't see the S. He thinks it's going to be a place where you can laugh. And this is what the disciples, James and John, were thinking. Because they understood the cup as the cup of blessing. And they understood the baptism as a thing of renewal. So they're going to get blessed and they're going to get renewed. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus was talking about a cup of suffering. And he was talking about a baptism of pain. And if you think about it, if you're going to be given glory, what's the opposite of being given glory? It's being given humiliation. And what could be more humiliating than being dipped back into water and out again, sogging wet? So Jesus is talking complete cross purposes with James and John. It's almost funny if it wasn't so tragic. And then, just when you think things can't get any worse, the 10 tune in to the conversation. The rest of the disciples hear what's going on, and then there's bedlam. Okay, wait a minute, you're not the greatest. How can you be the greatest? No, you know. Because there's a bit of rivalry there. James and John were related to Jesus, and they thought this was a family takeover. They thought the family were muscling in on ruling the group. So Jesus has to tell them to shut up, sit down, and listen. Jesus says to them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be slave of all. Now, they'd have understood what that meant. Because think about it, this is a country that was occupied by the Romans. Now, the Romans weren't renowned for being a very kind people. The emperors, the rulers could have people put to death on the whim. If you remember the story, the Jews couldn't put Jesus to death in Jerusalem. They had to ask the Romans to do it for them. They understood that Romans were harsh, that they could just click their fingers and get their way. But Jesus was saying, no, I want you to be a slave. And again, slave. We think of that in a sort of joking fashion when we do too much washing up or when we're asked to clean or hoover or do stuff. We think, oh, I'm like a slave. Now, in those days, a slave, it was a bit like being a car or a washing machine. You didn't have a choice as to what you did. You did as you were told to do. If somebody wanted to drive you somewhere, you just drove. You were that much of a machine. So Jesus was saying we had to almost become a slave. And what's an amazing twist in the Bible, and there's so many, that Jesus was asking us to be servants and slaves. At the same time, he was prepared to give everything so that we could be free. So what does Jesus teach us about serving each other? Well, before we even think about that, it's important just to get back to basics a bit here. It's important to remember that God loves us. It's important to remember that he's forgiven us. He's done all the work for us. He loves us with a deep and everlasting and unfathomable love. So there's nothing we can do to earn that. He's done it for us. He's filled us with that love. We are loved by him. And serving isn't about earning God's love. What happens is that we respond to God's love in worship and praise and adoration. And serving other people is part of that. It's not to earn the love. The love is given. And it's given freely. But the thing is, we need to get a balance between serving and responding in praise and worship. Because it's like a line, if you like, of one to the other. On the one hand, you have the people, and I don't know if you've seen them in church, I certainly have, I'm sure there's no one like this here, who are so caught up in serving God, it can leave you just a little bit cranky. It can leave you with that feeling that it's always me. It's always me doing all the jobs. It's not fair. It's not right. And if you think of people from the Bible, you can think of the prodigal son's elder brother. If you know the story, he was out there in the fields while his younger brother was off swanning around, spending all his dad's money. He was there carrying on working. And what happens when his brother gets back? He's not happy. He's furious. I've been working all this time, working with fingers to the bone. He comes back. That's an attitude we can all recognise. It happens to all of us. We all get like that if we just work and serve God, but without that worship and without that love for God that he asks for. On the other hand, on the other end of this line, you can get this attitude of, oh Lord. But you don't actually do anything. Do you know what James says in chapter 2 of James? Faith without works is dead. And if you think about the parable of the Good Samaritan, there's the Levite going to Jerusalem on that same road that we're talking about. He's going to Jerusalem and his mind is so full of the temple, he's not even looking at the guy who's half dead on the road next to him. So somewhere at one end of the line, you've got people who, have you heard the expression, they're so heavenly minded they're of no earthly use. Have you heard that expression? On the other end, you've got people who are just getting fed up because they're doing all the work and nobody's helping. So Jesus got a job to do to teach us about getting the balance between the two. And a really good story is Mary and Martha. We all know it, don't we? Luke 10, 38 to 42. And if you're like me, you have a picture in your mind of Martha being a bit of a strop. Yeah? And you have a picture in your mind of Mary being a bit sort of doughy-eyed and... But really, if you think about it, it's more complicated than that. Because Martha offered her home to Jesus and his disciples, didn't she? She went out and said, come in, I'll look after you, I'll feed you. And Mary was Martha's sister. So if Mary had spent her whole life like this, I think Martha would have kicked her to death, wouldn't she? Can you imagine living in a house with somebody when you're a workaholic and the other person just does nothing, actually? We can think of somebody in our household who's a bit like, but Jesus tells them to get the balance right. And he says, Mary has, because she dropped all the work for a moment and was sat at his feet, listening and loving him. And if you think about that road, now I hope I can get a picture. I don't know if it's going to work. Well, there's Mary and Martha. That's an old traditional picture, by the way. And that's a more modern one. Look, you see Martha's got a Hoover. I like that. It's good, isn't it? And there's a cat as well. And that's not mentioned in the story at all, is it? But there you go. And that's a nice picture as well, isn't it? See, look at the resentful look on Martha's face. It's great, isn't it? This is the road I was telling you about from Jericho up to Jerusalem, because Jericho is actually below sea level. It's really low down. And Jerusalem's on a mountain. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine hundreds and hundreds of people going on that road with sheep, carrying birds in cages, kids travelling? Can you imagine all that? It'd be a bit of a bedlam, wouldn't it? And can you imagine a Roman patrol coming out of the way, telling people to get out of the way? It's pretty dangerous, isn't it? It's not an easy route. There's 19 miles of it as well. Not an easy route. Because Jesus knew that it would be hard. And he knew that this was a time when the people had to get together and look after each other. Because you think about it, your whole community is going up on this road. It's a bit like when there's a flood here, you know, and everyone works together to help each other. It's that sort of spirit. So everyone's going on this road. You've got to make sure the sheep don't fall off the edge. Make sure the children are safe. And don't forget, this is the same road as in the Good Samaritan parable. There might be bandits lurking to try and rob you. There's no services on the way. It's just all one road. Very hard going. This is a time when the people have to serve each other, look after each other. But in amongst this, serving and looking after as a community, they're also worshipping. Anyone heard of the Psalms of Ascent? Anyone heard of that? Blank looks. Psalms 120 to 134. They're the Psalms of Ascent. These are the songs they used to sing while they were doing that journey. I don't know any of them, you're thinking. Well, perhaps you do. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Remember that song? That's one of the Psalms of Ascent. Unless the Lord builds a house, those that labour, yeah. They're quite well known, actually. I invite you to look them up later. 120 to 134. So while they were going along this road, serving each other, helping each other, watching out for each other, they were also worshipping. It's a good example of the two going hand in hand together. There's also something else to mention here. And this is something I suffer from more than anyone. So don't take it as something I'm getting at you about. But perhaps we all do this a little bit sometimes. In Galatians 6 verse 2 it says, carry one another's burdens. The flip side to this means that we've got to let other people carry our burdens. And sometimes it's easier to serve other people than it is to let other people serve us. If there's moments where it's like, come forward for prayer, and you're thinking, I'd really like to. I've got a real need, but I don't want other people to see that I'm weak. Has anyone ever felt like that before? Well, you don't want to go up to the front because I don't want people to see me like this. I want people to think I'm strong in the faith. I don't want people to see me up front or at the back being prayed for. It's our British stiff upper lip, isn't it? So if we're going to serve people, we've also got to be ready to let other people serve us. At my ordination last week, while I was wearing all my fancy stuff, there was a hymn. It says, brother, sister, let me serve you. We've got to give other people the right to let them serve us. So if it helps you to close your eyes, do. But I'd like us to imagine us walking up that mountain to Jerusalem as a community. And while we're doing that, we're protecting the weak. While we're doing that, we're watching out for danger. While we're on that walk, we're looking after each other's children, sheep and doves. We're making sure people have food and water. And here in our fellowship, let's remember to take time to talk to those who haven't got a circle of friends. Let's take time in the week to ring people up to visit, to listen to each other, to anticipate each other's needs, show hospitality, to pray for each other, to feed each other, to look out for those who are outside of the fellowship as well. to our neighbours. And when we need prayer, come and get it. When we need help, ask for it. Let people look after us, just like Jesus did. Jesus was very good at letting people look after him. And above all, let's remember that God loves us with an everlasting, fathomless love that we can never earn. And all we can do is respond to him, respond to his love in worship and praise. And our serving each other is just a part of that daily worship. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you that we don't have to earn our salvation. We don't have to earn your regard by working and by serving. Help us to be people who worship you in all parts of our lives. And help our service of one another, help our love for one another to be part of that worship. And just as those people walked up that road looking after each other and worshipping you, help us to be a worshipping, serving, loving community who cares for each other, loves each other, and worships you. In Jesus' name, amen.